Sunday the 8th of December 2019, 10:45 service. Sermon series, A Star is Born. Sermon title, Stars in the Sky. Bible reading, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 18 to 26. Talk by Reverend Martin Court.
The reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning to read at verse 18. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, folks, welcome to our Christmas sermon series, A Star is Born. And the idea is that all of our talks across this Christmas services, all our services are going to centre on a star somehow. Beautiful link to the stars, as I said earlier, that you guys have been knitting and making and putting together, that we're going to just go out and bless our community with again this year. A star is born. And today we're looking at the vastness of God. And even if we just watch that, about our own creation here, let alone going out into the stars. God is vast, isn't he? We live in a wonderful world. We're going to be looking at that through Isaiah chapter 40, that Old Testament prophet that we love to read at Christmas, because it's a book that's filled with hope. I mean, it's filled with all sorts of other things as well, but it's filled with hope and reconciliation for us. The German theologian William Vergemann says that the book of Isaiah is the first gospel. And if we don't understand the book of Isaiah, then we don't understand the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. I mean, I wouldn't go quite so far as to say that, but certainly it's brilliant stuff. Flick back to chapter 1, which just gets our taste buds going, the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Remember, that's God's church, Israel, his own people. And in verse 2 it says this, "Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." A little bit of history, just to set the scene. Israel are in trouble. They're coming out of the Syro-Ephraimite crisis. You didn't even know there was a Syro-Ephraimite crisis, did you? Don't think Brexit, think more Second World War. This is when leaders think that they can dominate the rest of the world. And they're after Israel. Assyria is knocking on the door to trample Israel down. After that, Babylon, you remember, is waiting in the wings to devour them. Politically, nations vying against nations, everyone taking what they can from others. Not dissimilar to the way that our world is today, is it? China, an emerging power, starting to flex its muscles. Russia, trying to keep hold of its power. America, with Donald Trump, thinking that they can just dominate the entire world. And somebody's given him a nuclear button to press. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Judah is tiny, almost insignificant, but it occupied the land between. It occupied the bit of land that was a major trading route from east to west. And so everybody wanted a piece of it. Battles are won and lost. Kingdoms rose and fell. The world was an unstable and dangerous place in which people struggled to survive and make sense of their lives. That's Barry Webb. He's the writer of the commentary, A Message of Isaiah. And into that melee it says, the Lord has spoken. Webb likens that to the dramatic words of Genesis, let there be light. God always bursting in on the scene, reminding history that he is in control. And through the chaos of history, there is the brilliance of divine revelation. And that brilliance is a vision given to Isaiah. The vision of God to Isaiah to proclaim to the church. And it's huge, huge. As heaven and earth are summoned to come and listen in that beginning chapter, so by the end, in chapter 66, we get the transformation and we get the new heaven and the new earth. And it's great. And the book will begin with the corruption of the day. Of course, the godless living of Israel. We've spoken about that recently. But it finishes with this city of God. We glimpse it through the life, of course, of Jesus Christ. And it's described for us beautifully in the book of Revelation. It's gripping and it's fantastic stuff. And in the book which we we watch Israel trying to survive in this harsh world, just as you and I have to survive in a harsh world. And they don't get condemned for trying to survive, because each and every one of us has got to do that. We've got to make the best that we can of the money that we've got, of the illnesses that we suffer, whatever it is. We've got to try to survive. The complaint is not that they try to survive. The complaint is that when they try to survive, they leave Yahweh behind. They forget God. And that is easy to do. I wonder how Christian you think our government is today, our political leaders. I wonder if you think that Christianity still rules in the UK. I was horrified, I'll just be honest, I was horrified at the lack of integrity of the Redbridge councillors when we went to that meeting. Just standing on a lie, clearly and obviously doing that. I wonder how much Christianity you think there is around us in society. See, Israel made God so small, their view of him, their understanding, their vision of him had shrunk and shrunk and shrunk as they had mixed with and slept with the idols and the gods of other nations. And God, Yahweh, just became ineffectual. They had forgotten his vastness, just as Great Britain has forgotten God's vastness. And that's why we begin with it today, because it's pivotal for our discipleship. It's pivotal for the reclamation of our nation. It's pivotal for you and I to stand on the vastness of God for Chadwell Heath. Because to see the wonder of God is to understand our own plight. Woe is me, cried Isaiah. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But let's get into chapter 40, and if you've got your Bible open, just scan down through it. Comfort, comfort my people. We've had 39 chapters of God shouting at Israel, crying out to them because they've turned deaf to his voice. And he's crying out to them, he's trying to open their ears, open their eyes, open their hearts to the way that they're living. And now here, a change of tack completely. Chapter 40 reads like chapters 38 and 40 of Job, when God reminds the world of his vastness. Pick out some verses. Verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked out the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed out the mountains on a scale and the hills in a balance? And the clever amongst us, of course, will understand immediately that God is picking out the very biggest things known to humanity. The sea, the sky, the earth, the mountains. And he pales them into insignificance when they're placed in the shadow of his own vastness. Can you and I do it? Who here can hold the waters of the sea in the hollow of our own hand? Andrew Wilson, you remember, he wrote the book Incomparable, exploring the character of God. We did a sermon series on that, you remember, not so long ago. He reads about the greatness of God in Psalm 93, as David compares God to the seas. And Wilson notes that God can be like the sea. He can be relaxing and restful and tranquil and like a mill pond, drawing you into the peaceful lapping of the waves on the shore, gently washing your strife away. He can be like that. But, says Wilson, God can also be like this. He says this, yet like Yahweh. The sea can be the scariest thing in all of creation because we cannot control it. It is wild and frightening, with the power to overturn ships and collapse cliffs and even wash away entire cities. And yet God tells us that he holds all of that, just in the hollow of his own hand. Jesus came, and as if the sea was a carpet to him, he simply walked out across it to meet with his friends. Think of the stars, billion upon billions of stars, galaxies, measured not in distance. The vastness makes distance a nonsense. They're measured in time now. How many light years away they are. Think of the creation closer to home, that video that we've just seen. The world, the trees, the wonder of humanity, the colour of butterflies, the order of each and every day, of each and every season, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. I think we lose sight of the vastness of God that lies behind the vastness of the world, don't we? In Job 34, we're reminded that you and I draw breath only because God ordains it. If God was to say, enough is enough, our breath would stop, we would die, we would return to the dust of the earth. Do we know that? Do we know that? Think of God's power over creation in a fallen world. Paul writes about that vastness, doesn't he? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ Jesus? And then he goes on and tries to think of what it might be. Trouble and hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, the sword. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. See, and here's the thing. We describe the unknown by describing something that's like it that we do know. That's what we try to do. When people are trying to describe me to someone who doesn't know me, they say to them, think of Tom Cruise. I'm just testing to see if you're awake. Okay, it's Basil Fawlty, I know. They say, think of Basil Fawlty and you've got Martin in your head. God is so vast that he is indescribable. Indescribable. And I think that's where we fall down. Scientists struggle to reason with such a God. Richard Lewontin, he's a leading Harvard biologist. He says this, we take the side of science in spite of the patent absurdity of some of its constructs because we have a prior commitment and it's a commitment to materialism, to what we can see and touch, a commitment to that which we can nail down in a Petri dish. He goes on to argue that if the human mind cannot box something in, it won't believe in it. And he finishes by saying this, moreover, that materialism is absolute, for we cannot let a divine foot in the door. I think we see that in our governments, don't we? They can't let a divine foot in the door. Science has no answer to God. The vastness of God is beyond our limits of understanding. King David knew that when he wrote one of his last hymns, Psalm 145. Great is the Lord, most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. And that's a fantastic quote from Sir Isaac Newton, isn't it? One of the greatest intellectuals of all time. But he knew that there must be a God behind it all. Do you live your life in the knowledge of that greatness? We can't fathom it all, but are we in awe of the greatness, the vastness of God? It's an important question. Not only the vastness of God's creation, but the vastness of God's power on earth too. To bring an old friend into the conversation, who is it that Moses is up against? He's up against Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Israel was slaves. Pharaoh was king of the world. Israel had nothing. Egypt had everything. Egypt was the world's dominating force. But if you read in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 20, this is God speaking, I will stretch out my hand and I will strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. And after that, they will let you go. Don't think for a second that I have given up on our refurbishment project. No way. I believe in a God, as our reading said today, that brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Of course we will win. Of course we will win. It'll be in God's timing, not our timing, not Redbridge's timing. God's timing. The might of God, the vastness of God, the power of God, such that he cannot be defeated by anything or anyone. Such that nothing can get across and beyond the power of his spirit. That's the picture of the river coming out of the temple in Ezekiel, isn't it? You remember, it starts ankle deep. It soon gets up to his neck and then beyond that. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit, the vastness of the Holy Spirit. He cannot even swim across it. Nothing can compare to Yahweh. But the question today is, do you know that? And have you seen that for yourself? In chapter 6 of Isaiah, the year that the king Uzziah died, I saw the glory of the Lord, the vastness of God, the reality of his greatness, the might, the power, the unending wonder of Yahweh, and it was shocking to him. Shocking to him. It was life-changing. It was awe-inspiring. Why? Because it's a vision that contains our hope and our security and our future. Isaiah had been a faithful Jew. He'd been to church week in and week out. He had sung the hymns. He had prayed the prayers. He had given his tithe, as we all do. But now his life will never be the same ever again, because he has seen the power of God, the glory of God. Jonathan Edwards, the theologian, not the triple jumper, says that you cannot love God fully until you have seen his glory. And when we see the glory of God, we will give ourselves to the love of God. Vanga Merman says that it's only when Isaiah gains this view away from the world that he can truly see the enormity of God. He says we need that perspective of God if we're ever to be disciples of God. Isaiah invites us into a gospel, not simply to know that our sins are forgiven and that we have a place in heaven. And of course, all of that is really important. But Isaiah invites us into the gospel so that we can be reminded of the power and the awesome nature of the God that we serve and love. So that we might be transformed by that in our thinking, in our living. And God will never be big enough to be real to us if we don't see that glory. That's what Christmas is all about. Jesus coming to reveal that glory to us. A star is born, a light to shine on the glory of God. We talk of seeing glory. We sing about it in our hymns, but the question is, have we really seen it at all? Maybe you're here today knowing that you've never been moved by the glory of God. Never seen his vastness nor meditated on his power. Friends, it's the start of a journey. Folks, my prayer today is that a star is born in your hearts. We'll never be true worshippers until we've seen it, says Vergamon. Never be true disciples until we've stood with Isaiah and cried out, woe is me. And he can only cry that out because when he stands next to the vastness of God, he sees how puny and tiny he is. And how reliant and dependent he is on God. I wonder if you've got one of these in your family. A nutter. No, I'm only joking. It's my uncle. Uncle-in-law, actually. He's out metal detecting. He scours the fields of Dorset with a metal detector looking for treasure. He's found odd bits, Roman coins and the like. But he carries on his search until he comes across a hidden hoard. That's what he's really after. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like that hoard of treasure. There's no mistaking it when you find it. He calls us to be like metal detectors out there every weekend searching the fields, driving miles, digging for hours, tossing old cans away, but never giving up until we've found it. He said the kingdom of God is like a lost coin that you turn the whole house upside down for, searching, looking, concentrating your efforts on until you find it. He said the kingdom of God is like a bridesmaid waiting for, longing for the bride to come. If you've never been felled to your knees by the glory of God, then you're in good company. Because I think you stand with the Western Church of today. But says Jesus, ask, seek, and knock. Never give up looking. Read the scriptures every day. Marvel at creation every day. We go out and we walk in it, but we walk with our heads down, don't we? We forget to see the birds and the flowers and the trees. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Because if you love him with only one of those, then you'll never see how vast he is. You'll never see his glory. We need all of them. Heart, mind, strength, soul. But if you look, says Jesus, you will find him. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. God reveals himself to us. The Bible is clear. As he did in Jesus Christ at Christmas, and when we see him, we begin on an unstoppable journey that takes us deeper into a true life, the life that we're meant to live, to become the people that we're meant to become. Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open. Friends, come with us this Christmas as we look across this awesome, loving God who came to earth for you and for me in the humility of a stable, ending up on a cross because he loves you so much. He loves the world out there so much. Next week, if you come, you'll need to bring your lightsabers because Bob is talking Star Wars. And it's going to be great. But each and every one of our talks will be about a star. A star is born. And I want to remind you that that star is for you. And it comes from a vast and holy and awesome God. Bigger than your imagination. Bigger than your wants and fears. Bigger than your hopes and dreams. Bigger than this world, bigger than any power that's at work in this world. And it's for you, because his love is bigger than any love you have ever known, and he loves you fully. Amen.